We'll continue our reading in John chapter 14 and begin at verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. In this case, it is not an imperative. Our brother noted the change in verse 1. That's a change the opposite way here. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Our brother began pointing out to us the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You've noticed almost at the end of this chapter now that the Lord Jesus says again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so the whole chapter is bracketed with this, that the disciples were all in consternation of mind. It would be hard for us really to grasp the tremendous sense of loss to them as they would think of losing him. He's leaving. And the tremendous reflections on all that he has been to them. He's told them time and time again, I myself am. Whatever your circumstance is, I myself am. Whatever you need, it is all to be found in me. And that's wonderful, and they'd come to expect that. And now that they've come to realize everything they have is in him, he's leaving them. And so you have this sense in the chapter of the Lord giving them strength, giving them courage, giving them help, in light of the fact that things are going to be so different, and yet things will continue to be just the same. And so what we look at as we follow the thought in these verses, who has ever expected so much of his followers as the Lord Jesus did? Now, just a minute now. He says in the preceding chapter that ye love one another even as I have loved you. Now, all I'm leaving you for a responsibility is just to be like me. That's all. Just to love as I love. What a responsibility. Absolutely impossible. But who has endowed his followers with so much
of capability. What we're going to look at here is the Lord Jesus is giving them actually all that they will need to be enabled to fulfill this tremendous responsibility that He has given to them. But then, of course, who has given to His followers such great possibilities to be expected? I'm coming for you. And you're going to move from this world. You think it's been wonderful being with me? I've got a big plan for you. You're going to be with me in my home forever and forever. Love as I have loved. Live by the power of the Spirit of God. Look for a new home in heaven. And so the Lord Jesus is now bringing us into the realization of what has already accomplished in our time, but was future for the disciples at that time. I think it's interesting just to notice the boundaries around the passage that we're looking at just now. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now come down to the end. And he says, I love my Father, and as he hath given me commandment, even so I do. There's something wonderful there. The Lord Jesus is saying now, here is the characteristic of all who know me, of all who have everlasting life. They love me. You love me. And here is the cause for which you will keep my words, because you love me. But here's the example. I love the Father. And the commandment He has given me will cost me more than any commandment I have ever given you. But because I love the Father, as the Father hath given me commandment, even so I do. And are you and I not thankful today for one whose devotion knew no limit? As the Father hath given me commandment, even so I do. Arise. And I think there's a break here our brother has mentioned. Here's the break from the upper room. I think it takes place here. But it's not just that we're leaving the upper room. What he's saying to them is, I'm moving on to the cross. The cross was ever before him. I just noticed then, in looking at the sections that are before us, I'll try to divide this in a way that will help us just to, in some way, follow the line of thought. But do you notice what he says in verse 15? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now come down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So the order is reversed, but you have the same keeping and love being brought together. You'll see again in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. In this case, it is my words. Again, verse 24, the negative of that, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. There's a feature in John's writings that I think is helpful to me. I think we're all very much conditioned to follow Paul's line of teaching. And Paul goes from A to B, and based on B, here is C, and based on C, here is D, right down through a consecutive line of logic. John seems to just establish centers. He drives a stake here, and he goes around that one. And then he comes back to the same place, and he enlarges the loop around it again. And he goes back again, around the same thing. You see what I mean here? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he comes down further. If you keep my commandments, you love me. But he's adding greater truth each time he goes around that same point that he's dealing with. And so I want to see if we can follow that a bit in the passages before us. I want to think with you in these verses from verse 15 down to verse 24. I want to speak to you just a little bit about the benefits of our provision. What has he provided for us? Remember in chapter 13, he was a servant who was desiring to bring them, remove anything that would keep them from having part with him. That's what he's doing in chapter 14. He is not now serving them while they are present with them. He's now anticipating what's going to happen in the time to come. And he's serving their need. He's making provision for them completely for all that they're going to face into the future. He's speaking to them about this coming companion. And his words are these, I will pray the Father. Go back to verse 14, and you will ask anything in my name. And you will beg for what you're going to receive. Now, that's not a matter of putting the thumb on them to make them beg, but he's recognizing this. You are lessers coming to a greater. But I am an equal requesting of my Father. And the response of my Father will be this. He will send you another who will do for you what I have been doing for you all along. I have been your helper. I have been your one that's called to the side to help. But I'm going to send another one of the same kind. Or my Father will send another of the same kind. So that the Son is saying, there is one who is another of the same kind as I am, as to his essential being. I am God, he is God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God. But not only that, there's an equality of the work or the blessing that will come with that comforter that they will send. I know sometimes you've wished you just could be sitting down at the table with the Lord Jesus like these men were. Wouldn't that have been great? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be struggling away on the sea and to find him coming to you? Wouldn't it have been wonderful? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be facing the thousands and they need to be fed and you have the Lord Jesus right there? Wouldn't it have been wonderful? Oh, those fortunate disciples, we just don't have as much as they have, right? Too bad for us. I think what the Lord Jesus is saying is you lack nothing. All that I've been to you, the Spirit of God will be to you. He will be as capable as I have been. And what I'm bringing to you is this great truth of this Comforter that is going to come. If ye love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another Comforter. Maybe I just want to point out one other thing about John's writings. Again, with Paul's writings, we're very used to the idea of positional truth and then practical truth. So what are you going to say here, if you love me? Is that positional truth or practical truth? I'm going to suggest to you that when John writes about characteristics, not about position and not about practice. He writes about characteristic. If you have been born again, then you have a family likeness. If you have been born again, then you have a capability that will produce this. And here is what we're reminded of. The Lord Jesus could very easily have said, if you're born again, you'll keep my commandments. If you're saved, you'll keep my commandments. He says, if you love me. Because the ultimate of salvation, the ultimate of our being brought into a relationship with divine persons is this. There has been love produced in your heart and in your life and in mine. Do we always love Christ with a perfect love? I've never loved him with a perfect love. In fact, a billion years from now, I'll love him more, but I'll never love him with a perfect love. That is uniquely divine. But what the Lord Jesus is saying is, that is to be reproduced in you. That likeness of loving me. But more than that, let me just tell you this, that you know already. The very key to Christian living is love for the Lord Jesus. And the more our hearts are drawn out to him, the more we will live as he lived, the more there will be this resemblance of Christ that will be produced in us. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing. He is bringing us into this likeness to Christ. How wonderful that the Lord Jesus says, he will be with you forever. Now, there's a sense in which I've been physically present with you, but I'm leaving you. But he will be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. All that I am, the way, the truth, and the life, all that I am, he will bring to you. He will bring you into all truth. And here's the wondrous fact now of this title, the Spirit of truth, as he speaks of it in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. They reject me, they cannot receive the Spirit of God. They see him not. But now listen, Mr. Smith set this all up for me, hoping that I'd trip over it. And I might. But let me just give you what I understand of this. He says, I will come to you. I'm coming to you. It's the very same word he said, I will come again. It's the same tense. So does it mean he's coming back for us at the rapture? Well, that's one possibility that some have taken. But he says, they won't see me, but you will see me. Or you see me, but it's actually, I think it's a statement of something that is a purpose of God and it's settled and it's final and it'll take place. You see me. So they will see him in resurrection. Is that right? He won't appear to the world, but he will appear to his own in resurrection. And it kind of sounds like that when he says, because I live. But you got to keep reading. He says, in that day, verse 20, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. When the Lord Jesus was raised and they were with him for those 50 days, were they in Christ and was Christ in them? Nobody's persuaded? You're not quite sure? No, that awaited Pentecost until the body was formed, until there was this oneness with Christ. So what the Lord Jesus is saying is this, I will be coming to you in the person of the Spirit as He comes to you to reside in you at Pentecost, and He will abide with you forever. The world can't receive Him. They don't see Him. It's not visible. It's not something that they partake in. But you will see me. I will come back in resurrection. And the very fact that I come back in resurrection will bring you into this ultimate of what life is. You shall live. Not so much now resurrection life that is being transformed and being made like Christ. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But life. Remember what he says in John chapter 10? I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And that abundance of life is realized in the Spirit of God's coming to you and to me. And the wondrous truth that the Lord Jesus is unfolding here is this. Up until this present time, and it was true in David's day, and it was true in Abraham's day, it was true in Moses' day, he's been with you. And on occasion, he took control from within of individuals for a particular work. But the Lord Jesus says, for you, there's going to be something different that has never been realized before. And I take it will never be realized in any other age. Something unique to this age. The Spirit of truth indwelling. The Spirit of God's been with you, but He shall be in you. Do you appreciate today the tremendous truth that within you is the divine person of the Spirit of God? And in order that we might live out what the Lord Jesus expects in our responsibility, in order that there might be a resemblance in your life and in mine to the Lord Jesus, we do not have some beta program. You know what I mean by that? I see some of you aren't in the computer thing. That just flashed into my mind. If you test the program out, it's not going to be perfect, but you give it a test and see if it works pretty well. I want to tell you, we don't have some test program to see if it works pretty well. We have got one divine person residing within us with the capability of producing in us only what will bring glory to God, only what will be likeness to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Did I give them all? The fruit of the Spirit is Christ. And that is what the Lord Jesus has left for his own. I have given you all the help, all the strength that you will need for this tremendous responsibility I'm leaving with you. The coming change then that he speaks to them about is that it is going to take place in that day, the coming of the Spirit of God at the day of Pentecost. But move with me to the second line of thought. I'm going down now to verses 21 through 24. And again, he goes back to this same pole that he has erected, and he comes back to it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. It is sufficient for you to love me. It will produce keeping my commandments. It's the very same thing. Keeping my words, having them and keeping them is the very same thing as loving me. You'll come down further on at the end of the section, verse 24, and he will say, and if you don't keep my words, he that loveth me not, if you don't love me, you will not keep my words. It is absolutely essential for us to love him, to show out this obedience, this likeness to him. So, the Lord Jesus is going to enlarge this wonderful truth, starting at verse 21. He's told us we have the Spirit of God, but he's actually going to tell us there's something more involved in this. If you love me, or he that keeps my has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. And he will enjoy a particular expression of the love of the Father for him. Now, that does not mean God has favorites and it's a conditional love. But those who have his commandments and keep it, that's you. That's me. That's characteristic of every one of us. And we have this particular expression of the love of the Father to enjoy. My Father will love him and we will come to him. We. Father and Son, equal. Son and Spirit, equal. We will come unto him. There are many mansions up there. And my Father wants to bring you into the intimacy of life in heaven. Into the very society of divine persons. Your home, heaven, and you'll be with me. And are you looking forward to that? Just a little bit? But until you get there, I want you to know me. You'll know me better when you get there. But until you get there, I want you to know me. My Father and I are going to come to you. And we'll make our mansion with you. Ah, my beloved brother. That Christ may be at home in our hearts, Ephesians chapter 3 is telling us. And here is the wonderful privilege. We have the Spirit of God, a divine person in residence. And in that, we have the fullness of all that God is manifested to us. Because that's the next thing that he says down in verse, where are we? We will make our abode with him. I've got to go back to what he says at the end. Sorry, at the end of verse 22. Verse 21. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I got a little ahead of myself there, but that's okay. I'll come back and pick it up. What is the purpose then of divine persons? To manifest himself to us. All right, you've got the picture, washing their feet and telling them, you need to have this sense of all that will hinder fellowship with me removed. If your feet aren't washed, you don't have any communion, you don't have any part with me. And now the Lord Jesus is extending that great truth. He's telling us, I'm giving you the Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, and I will manifest myself. You're going to be brought into a deeper intimacy. This is what I have in view for you. Christianity is not just go by the rules and endure the difficulties and survive until you get to heaven. Christianity is this ongoing revelation, manifestation of the Lord Jesus to his own. No wonder Judas, not Iscariot, says to him, wait a minute, I thought you were going to manifest yourself to the world. What do you mean you're just going to manifest yourself to us? Do you know what he's thinking? It was the great surprise they got when the Lord Jesus said in the last chapter, the Son of Man is glorified. They had learned through the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He repeats it just in the week prior to this about the coming of the Son of Man in power and great glory. He's coming back to this world and it will be visible and every eye shall see him. He's coming back. Surely we would expect that the Son of Man is going to come in manifestation to the world. And the Lord Jesus says, I've got something better for you. Before I come back, manifest it to the world. I'm going to come to you personally. In the Spirit of God, I'm coming to you personally to make myself known to you. To make our abode with you. You see, what the Lord Jesus is telling us and them is this. In order for you to replicate me, in order for you to be able to love one another even as I have loved you, there will have to be communion with me. You will have to get to know me more and more. You will have to enjoy this sense of the persons of the Godhead bringing you into intimacy with them in this wonderful blessing that you are about to receive. But come with me just to the last section of the chapter. And look with me now at what the Lord Jesus is giving to his disciples as something of the blessings that will be theirs, in his parting. And he tells them, first of all, that the Comforter, identified as the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, sent in my name. I think he may mean they're sent on my behalf. There is one that is coming in order to do for you what I love and have enjoyed doing for you. That's again, bringing us back to this wondrous truth of the full portion that will be theirs when the Spirit of God comes. You've listened to me. And you have been the Lord's saying this. I wasn't saying you're listening to me. You've been listening to me, the Lord Jesus says. And it's been rich teaching. But the Spirit of God will teach you. And in fact, He'll be bringing to your mind the truths that you've heard from me. You'll lack nothing. You'll lack nothing. You'll have this comforter that will come. He'll teach you. And in fact, He will give you the ultimate well-being that I have brought to you while I was with you. I know that we think of peace as being troubled hearts and they will, like the sea and the storm, they'll just be peaceful. But I think the Lord Jesus means a whole lot more than that. This word shalom, like the idea, you know. We have a plaque at our house that says, because one of the people in the house comes from y'all south down there, you know. And so there's a plaque in our house that says, shalom y'all. Well, the Lord Jesus says, ultimate peace, ultimate well-being, the very best of all that God can provide for you. You've been enjoying that while I'm here. I'm giving you that now when I leave, as I give you the Spirit of God in all that you require. They're not going to be left orphans. They're not going to be abandoned by Him. They are going to have absolutely all that they will need. We have absolutely all that we need. The remarkable thing to me is the world they face and the world we face is a whole lot different in a whole lot of ways. It's a whole lot the same in a whole lot of ways too. But it's a whole lot different. Looks different. Dressed up different. Or dressed down differently. But what they received that was sufficient for them, we have received and is sufficient for us in the day in which we live. But just, I want to note this and quickly bring this to a close. Because the Lord Jesus speaks about the prince of this world coming. And there's a conflict that He's facing. And the reality is this. When the prince of this world comes, every attack of infernal powers will be arrayed against the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, He is nothing in me. He found nothing to respond to Him in the wilderness. He will find nothing to respond to Him in the depths of my agony at Calvary. I'm going to Calvary to make a full provision for you. And I am going as the impeccable Christ. The prince of this world comes. He will find nothing. He hath nothing. No response to Him. There is no possibility that I will ever turn aside from that pathway. Remember what the devil said? Satan said? I'll give you all this if you just avoid the cross. Bow down and worship me. The prince of this world will find no response from me. I'm going to the cross. Nothing can turn me aside. And he says, what I'm interested in is that the whole world might be brought into intimacy with divine persons. You say, where'd you get that? That the world may know that I love the Father. You see, He's interested in bringing you and me into intimacy with Him. And the Spirit of God is given. And the Son of God is manifesting Himself to us. And divine persons have a residence within us in the Spirit of God indwelling us. But the Lord Jesus says, I'm interested in men and women coming to know me, that the world might know divine persons and the relationship among them, that I love the Father. How much do you appreciate the cross just in terms of this statement, that I love the Father? Does it ever thrill your soul to think that there was a Son who one day went out bearing His cross to suffer agony that He fully foreknew and that you and I will never know? And He went out with this overwhelming affection in His heart. He went with an affection for you and for me, and there was no cause for that affection except His own loving heart. But there was every reason that He should love His Father. And He went to Calvary, because I love the Father, and as He has given me commandment, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, that as my Father hath given me commandment, even so I do. And I think there's something unbelievable, unbelievably wonderful in the last words. Let there be no delay. Let there be no thought of shrinking from it. I'm leaving you. I'm going by way of the cross to the throne of glory. Arise. Let us go hence. He moves out with them, having told them, you are going to be fully equipped in my absence. You will lack nothing. And you lack nothing. And I lack nothing. Fully equipped in this dark world to live by divine power, to replicate Christ in our lives, day by day, moment by moment, in our relationship with divine persons, suited for relationships one with another.